This will be our first, although shorter than normal, message in this three-part series. It's short, again, 3 weeks beyond the cross. And if you could just look with me at Acts chapter 16. That's where I will be for a few moments here. I know everybody has great big plans for today, and especially in our county, the spring break is this week, and it's just an exciting time. But I do pray that this past Friday, you were able to take that pause and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did, what your blood did. And this morning, I know most likely all of you already today have taken that pause. Maybe it was early. Maybe it's just now at some point during the service when you said, thank you, Jesus, for rising from the dead for me. And that's why he did it, folks. He did it for you. He did it for me. What greater sign could there be that Jesus is the Messiah than the resurrection? And all that is required is we believe in him. That's all that is required. There is so much more to the Christian life. Such deep experiences, such growth happens. When you're walking with Jesus, you can't help but to be changed every single day. But that all has to start somewhere. It has to have a starting point. And that point is salvation. That point is when hearing the gospel, you ask a question of the Lord. And when you ask this certain question, he always gives an answer. And when he gives an answer to your question, you always have a response. Whenever he gives this answer, your life can never, ever be the same again, but it has to have a starting point. Look with me, please, in Acts chapter 16, starting with verse 30. This is when Paul and Silas were in jail together, and the jailer, after an earthquake and the foundations of the prison were broken and the doors flung open wide, Paul and Silas there in their confinement before a fearful jailer. The conviction that came on that jailer, verse 30, Paul and Silas brought them out. He brought them out, and the jailer says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the question. That's the question. What must I do to be saved? And this was the question of the jailer, and it's really the question of us all. Faith comes by hearing the word. And when we hear the word of God, when we hear the gospel, we all, like this jailer, will ask that question, what must I do to be saved? I mentioned just a few moments ago the depths, the awesomeness of walking with Jesus. It's all by his mercy. It's all by his grace. But that starting point is the question. The question that this jailer asked is the question that we all must ask when hearing the gospel. What must I do to be saved? And then upon asking that question, we receive God's greatest answer to man's greatest question, which is the greatest news. I want to say that one more time. God's greatest answer to man's greatest question is the greatest news. What is the greatest question? What must I do to be saved? What is the greatest answer? Notice in verse 31 now, God gives it. Paul and Silas, they say, after this man asked, what must I do to be saved? Paul didn't say, well, you have to go through some lengthy formula. Paul didn't ask him, how good has he been all his life? Paul didn't say, how many good works have you had? Paul didn't go through any list of things. All Paul said to that question was this answer from the Lord. They said, here's all you have to do. Verse 31, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all you have to do is believe. Just believe. Only believe. Somebody say believe. Believe. What is that? It's faith. It's having faith. Having faith in things not seen. Having faith which is God-inspired faith. Faith enough to ask the right question, what must I do to be saved? Faith enough to receive the answer, only believe. You know, the Bible is full of answers. It's full of answers. In fact, somebody said a conservative estimate is that Jesus Christ fulfilled over 300 prophecies in the Bible. So why weren't they waiting at the tomb that morning? Because they had a problem even in walking with Jesus that we all have. Sometimes we have all the evidence before us, but we still have questions. We still have questions. Well, the Bible is so full of answers, but do you know it's also full of people asking questions, just like this jailer in Acts chapter 16. And this greatest question ever asked, the greatest question you could ever ask in your life, is the question that you ask to God, what do I need to do to be saved? The world has lots of answers to that question. Did you know that? But there's only one answer that matters, and that's God's answer. Because the world will tell you all you have to do. Even the church can come up with a lot of requirements and things they've come up with of what you have to do to be saved. But God gives one answer and one answer only. And that answer is all you have to do to be saved is just to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. This is the greatest question that is deep within the heart of all Adam's children. And God's answer is always the same. Believe. That's all you have to do is believe. Finally, the greatest question gets the greatest answer, which gets the greatest response. Verses 33 through 34 of our text says, "And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, was baptized he and all his family." Verse 34, "And when he had brought them into his house, he put meat before them," that's Paul and Silas, "and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." That's the response. The jailer asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas gave the answer. God says all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done, and you'll be saved. You'll be saved. And that it invoked a response from the jailer and from his family. Because that same night they were saved by God's awesome, amazing, mighty grace. They didn't earn it, they didn't deserve it, but they received it by faith in Jesus Christ. They were saved that night, they were baptized, and what I love is an entire house was transformed. Not just the jailer, but his wife and his family and the whole house was transformed and they were rejoicing that night. That was their response. They believed one time and they continued to walk it out and believe. They were saved and they were baptized. An entire house was transformed by conviction enough to ask a question, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And all their lives were changed. I want to ask you something this morning. It's a very important question. It's a question that God has given the answer to, an answer which deserves a response. Have you ever asked the question in your life, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Do you see how that's the most important question you could ever ask? Life on this earth is so short. Life is so short. Time is short. In fact, the Bible says that this life is compared to just a vapor that appears just for a moment and then it's gone. We see how fast life goes by and how many times in our lives do we wish we could go back. And we think, oh, if I could just go back a couple years ago. And in our minds, a couple years ago is actually 15 years ago. In our minds, when we say 20 years ago, that's actually 50 years ago. I was telling somebody not too long ago that I still think of like the 1970s. It's like 20 years ago, 20-something years ago. Well, that ever more dates me. I still think of the 80s. It's, yeah, that was like a decade or two ago. No, we're in 2022, and life is going by just like that. But the question that will always remain, what must I do to be saved? Life goes by so fast. I'll tell you, eternity is a long time. Eternity is a long time. It's especially a long, long time to be without Jesus. When he's made it so simple, he's made it so simple by presenting his son. He said, I will come and take your place. Your works will never be good enough. You'll never be good enough. Just take what I've offered you and receive. And that substitute begins in a question. What must I do to be saved? God said, glad you asked. Here's the answer. You believe on the substitute I've sent for you. The sacrificial lamb. Just believe in him. And your response will be to live for him. To live with him. To live in him. To do all things through him that you believe. The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's just that simple. It seems too simple, but God made it that simple because that's what we need. Otherwise, we would think it's our own works. It's not of works. If we were able to be saved through works, we would boast. God says, I don't want you boasting. I don't want your salvation to depend anything about your works or your good deeds. I want it to be all my only begotten Son, Jesus. Jesus did all that he needed to do to accomplish salvation for you. All you have to do is ask the question. Maybe you've never asked it. I'm going to ask the worship team. They're going to come back up. They've already prepared to do that. Come back up. And we're going to just close the service out. And as we do, I hope that question rings loudly in your ears. I know we've all been moved by this human video, the service, the presence of the Lord. We've believed the Spirit of God is here today. But what does any of it matter if you've never honestly and innocently ask that question, what must I do to be saved? And then the answer is just believe. Just believe. And then your response is surrender. A surrendered life. It's simply a yielded life. It's a life that is yielded to Jesus. It's a life that you said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And he says, just believe in Christ. And then you choose to live out your days that way. That's why we can't identify as a Christian simply because 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we walked down an aisle and made a decision. See, it's a lifelong commitment to live with Jesus. That's why to identify as a believer means you're walking with him every single day. Your life is being changed. You're constantly being renewed. He's speaking to you. He's walking with you. He's talking with you. There's a communion that's happening. And your life as a believer is one perpetual feast. As the Jews, the feast of Passover is, it's constantly reminding you that I've given you freedom. All you had to do was ask. All you had to do was believe. All you had to do is receive and live that surrendered life in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please just pray with me for a moment? And everyone here under the sound of my voice, those watching online, on live stream, those who will watch this later, may the gospel in all its power be presented to you in a more real way now than it ever has before. And what I mean by that is may this gospel message reach into the very depths of your soul, longing for you to ask one simple question. That one simple question is, Lord Jesus, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I, a sinner, need to do to be saved? And he is always waiting to give you the answer. That answer is just believe. Only believe. You don't have to add anything to that, take anything away from it. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And then the response of your life is, for the jailer, he said, I'm not wasting any time. We're going to get baptized straight away. The whole house got baptized that night. They had been saved. They wanted the world to know it. An entire house was transformed, but it all started by a conviction to ask a question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? To believe for the answer, only believe in Jesus. and for your life to become one awesome communion with the Lord. That is to walk with Him, ever being transformed by His love. That is also taking that next step of, Lord, what is it that You've called me to do? How can I do what You've put me on this earth to do? It starts with that question. That's where it begins. In Jesus' name, Lord, You're speaking to people. I know You are right now. I have no doubt in my mind You're speaking to somebody on this Easter service this morning of 2020 right here. You're calling people. You're comforting others. You're giving assurance to some. You're speaking to others. But may every person right here, may every person right here not dare leave this place without knowing in their heart, I've asked the question, I've gotten the answer. My life is a living response. In Jesus' name, amen. As they sing this song, I'm going to ask any of you that need prayer. I'm just going to leave it at that. You might need for myself or one of our leaders to pray with you to accept Christ. You say, I'm wanting to ask the question. I'm ready to take that next major step. I want to be a believer. I want to believe on Jesus. You might need help with that this morning. Listen, we're going to open the altars during this song. They're going to stay open during this whole song. You might need prayer for that. You just consider this as an invitation to come to Jesus. Come to the foot of that cross that He died on. Come to the opening of that tomb that He rose from. Come to that great mountaintop that He rose from and be waiting on Him. Let your life be one evermore waiting on Jesus to return again. He promised it. He's coming. You might need prayer. Your soul might not be right. The altar's open for you, friend. Don't let this moment pass you by. If you need to come, just come. There's others that might have a sickness, and you need prayer for that. Usually we do this earlier in the service. We had planned to have an altar time of altar ministry here for people that need to be saved, people that need to be healed. Listen, the Bible says if there's any sick among you, anoint him with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Whatever you need prayer for, as we sing this song, these altars are open. Don't let this moment pass you by. If you need to be down here, if you need to come down and say, I have asked that question, I've believed the response, and now I want to live out that example, that response, in Jesus' name. Don't hesitate. Don't talk yourself out of coming. If you need to be down here, just come by faith in Jesus' name. I'm just pleading with you. If you need to come down here, not saying everybody needs to be here, but if you know you need to be down here at this altar, you say, preacher, I need prayer. I need you to pray with me. Just come on and let's do it. Let's deal with it right now in Jesus' name as they sing. Come on, just receive right now. Just receive. Just receive right now.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Fire.
soul held captive by it fresh. I speak to Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Your name is power.
Your name is power.
Darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over.
Father, we thank you today. We thank you that all we have to do is speak the name of Jesus. in every situation that we're in. And the demons have to flee. We speak Jesus over each and every family that's here this morning. Lord God, we pray you would pour out your Spirit upon them as they go from this place today. Lord, we pray that they would be filled with your peace, that your glory would follow them out, Lord, that you would just be with them. Anything that's bothering them, God, I pray that they would just give it to you right now and leave here set free today. Because in your presence, there is freedom. So we give you every burden. We give you every problem. We give you every sickness. Things that are too big for us to handle. God, it belongs to you. You said your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And I declare that over these people here today. We thank you that you've met us here. We thank you that your glory has been here. We thank you that we don't gather in vain, but we gather to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is risen and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And we thank you, Jesus, you're coming back for us. May we be a bride that's ready to meet you when you return. We give you all glory and all honor and all praise today. In the mighty name of Jesus, go with us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Happy Easter. We love you all.
The tomb that day, just shuffling soldiers' feet as they guard.